left off yesterday in the Ritva, and I left off with a couple questions asking you that I wanted you to let me know about what you thought about the Ritva in contrast to Shitas Rashi. So we had seen that the Ritva had mentioned that every word in the Mishnah is Meduyik, as the Gemara is going to bear out. And he starts out pointing, Avi counted that there are 10 instances that the Mishnah has. And he says, Eilu Mitziyu Shalo, Havalei Lameh, Kol Dover Shein Basin Arei Shalo, the Kol Hani Dmani V'Ozeles V'Simen. I don't know if we emphasized yesterday that the Ritva over here is bringing out a Kasha. And that is, why didn't our Mishnah just say, Kol Dover Shein Basin Arei Shalo? And he says, Kol Hani Dmani, all of the above examples, the coming examples, have something that's going to tell us a particular Chiddush. And this that we spell out. Now, I'm not going to go through all the chidushim that the Ritva is going to say each one says, although I would very much like that you guys go through it. That when it comes to Moos and Peros, so Abaye is telling us that since they are Chashiv, so then there's Yeish Midas. So what's he referring to over here? What's the Ritva bringing out over here? What is it? No, tell me the whole idea. What's he bringing out over here? Yes, Avi?
Lion wrote this argument in Yeish Midas.
Yeah, what's the point?
In the Gemara is trying to prove for Rava that since you can keep them, the guy doesn't know about it, Yeish Midas. So then Abai answers that.
Very good.
Yeah.
The Gemara on Chaf Aleph on the Bay says that at first glance, when it comes to Mos and Peros, the guy would not be aware of it. So isn't that a raya in the Machlokis that Yeish Lo Midas is having Yush? So according to Abaye, there's a chidush over here in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is saying no. That our Mishnah is saying that Mos and Peros is considered Yeish Midas. Why? Because it's Yakiri. Now some of the Talmidim pointed out well that that's a little bit difficult, because at the end of the day, this Lashon of Chashivi o Yakiri is not very much mukhrach in the Gemara itself. What does the Gemara itself say, Avi? The Gemara doesn't use the expression Chashivi o Yakiri. What's it say, Avi? Go ahead.
By the money it'll feel for his wallet.
Right, he's Meshamish Bikiso, right? And he checks. So the Ritva is saying the same idea. But the Ritva uses a different expression. He says Chashivi o Yakiri. That's something to... What's that?
I got the Chashivi.
But not by Moss.
But not by Moss.
But he says Akira.
Okay.
No, the Akiri is difficult, though, because the Gemara says Matnas to Beidari,
which is... Wait, that's a separate question. That's a separate question I want to get to shortly. So the Ritva is using a slightly different Lashon than we would have expected. Even Yisrael would agree. You're right, the Gemara does seem to use that expression along the way. But it does... It is a little bit mechudesh that he uses this expression. Something to note. And the Ritva says that's the chiddush. That's what the chiddush is going to be according to Abaye. Valiba de Rava, and according to Rava, Mos and Peros is also a chiddush. Valiba de Rava Ashmina de Yeish Lo Midas Shmei Yeush, and according to Rava, we're telling us the chiddush of Yeish Lo Midas is considered Yeush. What does he mean by that? Who wants to fill in Pashup Shat? What does he mean by that? He means as follows. He means that Yeush Shalom Midas over here, but Pashtus is the guy's not aware until the Gemara brings up this idea of Yakiri, which Rava does not need to accept. It's proving the idea that if it's going to fall from him, it's considered Yeush Shalom Midas and it's considered Yeush. Then the Ritva says one more point. Ubikrechos Pershus Harabim Ashmeinan Demakom Loavi Simikim Deminshtefu. And this we're going to discuss next week, the beginning of the week. He says that we're talking about krechos versus harab, we're talking about bundles in the versus harabim. So then there's another chidush, and that is that the fact that you leave it where you know you drop it in a particular place in the versus harabim in of itself is not a simon, even though makom might often be a simon, because it's kicked around. And that's what the chidush is of krechos versus harabim. And then the Ritva goes on for the other 7 examples that Avi counted. So, okay. the beautiful Ritva. The beautiful Ritva, for those of us who haven't done Eilu Metzias well, just to get a sense of what every part of the mission is coming to bring out. But aside from it being a beautiful Ritva, what else is striking in light of what we learned yesterday in this Ritva? We'll do the exact same thing we did yesterday. List a bunch of Tzarech Niyuns. Some of them, by the way, we're not going to even answer today. Some of them are going to take us a couple of weeks to answer. By the way, what we're about to do now, I didn't see in quickly surveying the classic Raid Svarim, I didn't see people stop at this. So I haven't looked enough. You know, before I write, I'm going to look more. But as of now, this might be a little bit of something new that hasn't been discussed too much before. What's something interesting over here? What's some Tzarech Niyuns of the Ritva that one would, once one did Rashi really, really well, you pointed out that the first set of Arim Chomos is to go over Rashi well, to internalize everything that we had said. What are some of the interesting things over here in the Ritva? Yes, David.
He says, but the Rashi said yesterday, Paris have nothing to do with the Embo Simon. It's only Mos and Zeu Tam Kulam and everything else.
Very good, very good. Points out David, Tzarech Niyun number one, or Chiluk number one, that's not called Tzarech Niyun number one. Points out David, Chiluk number one, is that Rashi and the Ritva start out right off the bat categorizing the case of Peros Mefuzarim in fundamentally different types of ways. We said Shir yesterday on the fact that Rashi repeats himself when it comes to Peros Mefuzarim and says Yeush is Hefker, like he's about to say when it comes to Mos Mefuzaros. And we developed every single word in Rashi, every single word, even Kedah Amram Bigamara, etc., etc. What was one of the Yesodos that came out from what we said in every letter in Rashi? What came out was that Rashi holds that when it comes to the case of Mos Mefuzaros, that's an entirely different case. Peros Mefuzarim, excuse me, Peros Mefuzarim is fundamentally different than Mos Mefuzaros, that Peros Mefuzarim is an instance in which the Yeyush does not come about because there is no Simin, but rather it comes about because it's what we call Machnashta de Beidari. What is that? So Machnashta de Beidari, as Rabbi Yaakovovich said last night, I caught him in the stairway, we were discussing a little bit of what the Talmidim were discussing. By the way, I hold is the ultimate for the highest level of learning. Is that's how Reb Chaim used to learn. Reb Chaim used to discuss what the Talmidim were discussing. That's it. So we were discussing what the Talmidim were discussing, and he pointed out that one could learn that it's an entirely different form of Yeyush. Because when it comes to a Dover Shein Bo Simin, so then that's one reason a person is not Yeyush. When a person is not Matriach, that's an entirely different type of Yeyush. It's whether it's halachically a different Yeyush or not, Rabbi Yaakovovich took it as a Dover Pashta, that's a type of Yeyush. And then I pushed him, lahalacha, whether it's a nafkamina, I'm not convinced. But I don't care, and Rashi doesn't care about that. Because at the end of the day, Rashi is setting up that these are two different categories in the Gemara. And of course, Rashi's genius is, he says, Kedamrim the Gemara, he doesn't want to turn off the 10-year-old by saying Machnash to the Beidari and to confuse him of what's going on over here. So he just says that you should know that this is going to be a different category in the Gemara. Points out David, Chiluk number one, is that the Ritva doesn't do that. What does the Ritva do? The Ritva already, right off the bat, says, Kol Davar Shem Bo Simin Areyu Shalom. That's Chiluk number one. Beautiful. What else? All these Chilukim are not really Tzarechiyuns. All this is just going to add up to a fundamentally different picture in Pshat. Not everything has to be an Afkamina and Halacha, but you're not going to be able to learn Halacha if you can't notice things in Pshat. What else is going to be a different Afkamina and Pshat between the Ritva and Rashi? Yes, Yisrael?
He says straight up that Peros and Mos are written for the same reason in the Mishkan. He says that they were the Bartimu in the Mishkan that
exactly. As a byproduct of the first chiluk is a second chiluk. And that is, David is pointing out right off of the bat, he says, Kol Davar Shein Bo Simin. So Yisrael points out that's why he puts together Mos and Peros. Amazing. And that's why when it comes to Peros, he even inverts the order, right? In our Mishnah, we have Paris Mufuzarim first, right? That's in itself striking too. So, and that's why, right off the bat, he gives a totally different explanation of Moses and Paris. He puts them in the same category, and he says that the chidush of both of them is what? The chidush of both of them relates to the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshlomidatz, how each one's going to explain the chidush. That Rabbi's going to say, ah, this is proof, Yeshlomidatz. A different world than Rashi and Pshat. Okay, that's exactly what I wanted the Talmidim to notice. Rav Yoel, and then Yonatan was mechaving to Rav Yoel, points out that next week we're going to see that the Ritva is going to be Lashitasa. Whose Pshat is a better Pshat? In Pshat, in the Mishnah and Gemara, who's a better Pshat? What would you say? If you have to choose how to teach the Mishnah, if you were saying a Mishnah Yashir the way one really in theory should say a Mishnah Yashir, and that is like to know really the categories as understood in the Gemara, how would you teach the Mishnah? If you would say a good Mishnah Yashir, not just to be Yotzeh, who would you say like?
Rashi.
I would say like Rashi too. Because there's a fundamental question, a Tzarech Yom Gadol, that emerges according to the Ritva in Pshat, in the Mishnah. What's the Tzarech Yom Gadol? The Tzarech Yom Gadol is, at the end of the day, then why do you have two different categories, the Mos and Peros? According to Rashi, everything's Kafta V'Ferach. It is. Rashi might learn everything else like the Ritva, everything subsequent, all the Chidusha, but according to the Ritva, every case in the Mishnah is Meduyak, except the first two cases. Funny. So the Ritva, Rav Yoel points out, Behemshech, Rav Yoel already, I think, has two Ritvas, Lashitaso. Yonatan was mechaving to one of them, that the Ritva has an agenda over here. So the Ritva is fundamentally disagrees with Rashi in terms of Pshat, how to break apart those categories. Now, I don't know whether this is a nafkamina in Pshat or nafkamina in Halacha. I don't know enough yet. Whether this is only an afkamina pshat or an afkamina that's going to have any practical implication. Right now, it's just a question of how to be mesader the Mishnah. But the first step in being sensitive to really realize what they're going to be, nafkaminas la halacha, is to notice that categorical difference. So once we've crystallized this machlokas ritva Rashi, now we're going to be able to go back and analyze Rashi more. Once we have this chiluk in place. Now you see that the Ritva now helped us in really understanding the significance of every line in Rashi. Now let me just spend the 30 seconds reviewing some of the nuances of how we're now reading Rashi, just to appreciate Rashi again. So Rashi is saying like this, Elu metzias matzu peres befuzarim nisyayishu abaylin behen. We'll repeat Moshe's tzarechin in a moment. Kida amar b'gemar v'hefkerhen. So why does he say Kida Amar B'Gemara? Because Rashi is telling us that there's an entirely different reason that you should know that makes them hefker. Most mefuzaros, there Rashi says, hold ein lam simanei nikur, ayush miyayish vavalu hefker. Rashi wants to emphasize that's the yeush that creates the hefker, and then we spoke about the lomdus of how yeush works a little bit yesterday, which we'll return to a little bit today. V'zeo tam kulam. And Rashi's Meduyik, Zel Tam Kulam is entirely different. I would add that that's Chiluk number 3. The Ritva said Zel Tam Kulam right on the top. Rashi's the exact opposite. Rashi says Zel Tam Kulam in the end of Mos Mefuzaros, because Rashi doesn't hold that that's the same Chiluk with Peros Mefuzarim. So every word now, Bezer Hashem is Meduyik. Yesterday we had 4 tzarechiyuns in Rashi. We answered 3 of them because those were the 3 that I was bothered by when I was preparing. There was one more tzarechiyun that Moshe asked that I was struggling with the Talmidim, and that is, we had a tzarechiyun. Why does Rashi say Nisyayishu Abaylin Bad Peros Mefuzarim? Not a tzarechiyun that it doesn't work through Yeush. But why did Rashi emphasize that? Because we looked up the Gemara. Once we internalized that Machnash to the Beidari is fundamentally different, so then the Gemara did not mention that. The Gemara just only mentioned Hefker. So why does Rashi emphasize Yeush? So I gave a simple teretz. The simple teretz being that the reason why Rashi says Nisiyar Shu Abaylim is because Rashi just wants you not to make the mistake. Once you know that Rashi is cholik on the Ritva and holds Machnashta the Bey Dari is an entirely different category, then I might have thought that the Hefker is working in a different type of way. Kamash Malah, no! That the Hefker of Peros Mefuzarin is the same Hefker as Mos Mefuzaros. That's how I answered Moshe Sarachian yesterday. It could be that there, this question of why is Rashi emphasizing Siyashu Abayim when the Gemara doesn't emphasize it might be relevant to one of the most famous discussions that most of the Rosh Yeshivas started off with when they learned Eilu Metzias. The way Reb Shmuel Razovsky Zatzal started off learning Eilu Metzias is he jumped right in to a very famous question which comes about through Tosos in Bava Kamma, and he points out that some Achronim assume that Rashi was different than Tosos in Bava Kamma. I want to point out that this really crystallizes for me this sugya, that if you jump into Reb Shmuel without doing the first day, I'm very happy with the way we broke it apart. Because Reb Shmuel's first shiur would not have been the right first shiur for us. The best thing for us in our level of learning is first to have done the Tzarech Iyuns in the Rashi. Reb Shmuel Razovsky, at least as recorded in the Shiurei Reb Shmuel, doesn't do any of this work that we did for the last day and a half. Which I hope the Talmidim and Panovich at that time, could very well they did, had done on their own. But what we just pointed out, the four Tzarech Iyuns, v'chulei v'chulei, Reb Shmuel doesn't discuss that. Reb Shmuel basically jumps in to the dramatic words of Rashi. What are the dramatic words in Rashi? The dramatic words are the Hefker. The Rashi emphasizes it's Hefker. So Reb Shmuel immediately begins to play with this idea of what exactly does it mean that after Yeyush is Hefker. And this is one of the most famous pieces of Yeshiva Shereid, which I think is really only the second step after we've really asked all of the Tzarech Iyuns, I think even the Medayik and the Ritva, v'chulei v'chulei v'chulei, then it makes sense to have this discussion. Okay. Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, says something very, very interesting. The Gemara discusses that a Gazlan, there's an opinion in the Gemara on Samach Vav. We're going to go through the Gemara first. I know I didn't put the Gemara on the Mar Mikomos, but I thought it would be self-evident that you should internalize the Gemara first before we jump into the Tosfos. The Gemara has a discussion. The concept of Yeyush is not a concept that only exists in Metziah, of course. The concept of Yeyush exists as well in terms of Kinyanim of Geneva and Gezela. If Shimon steals from Reuven, so then when is there Kinyanim Gezela that it belongs to when it belongs to Shimon? So there is an opinion in the Gemara, Yeyush Bichdi Konin. And that is that Yeyush alone is Konin. If you take a look, the Maskonas HaGemara, and it seems from the Ein Mishpat, is not that way. That Yeyush alone is not Konin. Again, let's just spell what that means. When Reuven is Miyayish, Yeyush alone, that's also an open question. When Reuven is Miyayish, so then in such a case, then the object belongs to Shimon. Says Rav Yosef, three lines of Banam Samach Vav Amin Al, Rav Yosef Amar Yeyush Eina Konin Vafil Midrabanim. Rav Yosef holds Yeyush alone is not Konin. Even Midrabanim. However, there's a very strong strain, and the Ein Mishpat points out that the Rambam seems to pass in that way, but there's a very strong strain in the Gemara that says no, that there's a possibility that Yeyush alone, the moment Reuven gives up, it belongs to Shimon. But the Gemara asks a couple of interesting questions about that. Let's take a look at the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara says, Miu lo yaginam. We don't know. The Rabbanim before him didn't know. Ida raisi the Rabbanim. Ida raisi midave motzi aveda. Do you say it works like motzi aveda? Motzi aveda lav kivan de miayish marimine mikmei de teisili yade konile. Just like when it comes to aveda. If Shimon, let's start with Reuven. Reuven's miayish. Even before it comes to Shimon's hand, he's konile. Hainami kivan de miayish marikonile. I'm a koni. Notice, by the way, the Gemara that here says that it was before it came to Shimon's hand. O Dilma, Lo damyul aveda. Or do we say no? It's different than aveda. Aveda who dechiyas liyade be teiras liyade. It only comes to his hand to hetter. Avol ha'kimin to be sura sal liyade midrabbanu da'amer niknim ipnei takanas hashavim. Over here, it's a fundamentally different type of case. Over here, the gazlan took a be'isser. Gazlan took a be'isser. When the gazlan takes a be'isser, then he's going to become a be'ish. No, it's different. And aveda your kona when he came to you be'heter. But who says ye'ish is going to work if it comes to you be'isser? Tosis makes a brilliant observation based on the Gemara. Says Tosis in deeper Maskim Kivim to be Surah Saliyadeh. And this, of course, is going to be a pillar in, you know, this is a little bit like the Rajba on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in terms of the Tfisa on the Talis. This is going to become a pillar that we're going to come back to. Says Tosis, Mikan Mashma Sheyeyush Ein Kefker Gomer. From here is Mashma that Yeyush is not like Hefker. Din Kain, because if it was like Hefker, who cares when it comes to Gineva that it came to your hand be Isser? Yucholiknos min Hefker. If it's Hefker, it's Hefker. Elamai says, tells us, Yeyush is not mamish like Hefker. The Gemara's distinction between when it comes to Metzia, that there the Yeyush will work on a level d'oraisa because it came to his hand be Heter, versus Gzela, where it might only work midrabana, because it came to his hand be Isser, only makes sense if we don't understand that Yeyush is mamish Hefker. Because if Yeyush would be mamish Hefker, so then in such a case, why does it make a difference how it came to his hand? Must be that it doesn't mean mamish Hefker. What does it mean? The answer is that we view it as, on some level, it's no longer entirely Reuven's, but not that Hefker, to the point that we're going to allow only midrabon, but minat Torah you can't be zocha, because Yeyush is not mamish Hefker. Now, obviously, that other side of what it is, we haven't been masbir so well, which we're not going to today. But what we're going to focus on right now is the other extreme. It can't be pshuto kimashmo Hefker. I'll just give you the standard way of understanding then what is it. Most understand that it must be then that the way that Yeyush works is that not that it becomes ownerless, but Yeyush is enough that you have a zechus to be able to be konen. I saw the Talmidim were able to photocopy Reb Shmuel, right? You have Reb Shmuel Shirin, so then I'll just show you. Reb Shmuel does a great job in summarizing this Inyan, where he says, maybe some Talmidim look on with each other if there aren't enough. There are. Beautiful. The Mamish summarizes everything what we just said in Tosos in column 1. And he explains Elamuchach in column number 2. Could I have to go through the whole piece? There's no reason why all of you can't understand the whole piece. He says Elamuchach, second column, halfway through, Dal Yideh Yeish Lo Nasa Hefker Elarak Heter Zechiyah Greda. It's only after Zechiyah the Shuvain Balusa Ma'akevus Achem Yisakos, that there's no longer a problem of the other Bailim to be able to be Zoka. In other words, Shimon to be Zoka. V'kivan da'av egzeres ha'kos v'din mechudesh shel Yeyush shuv lo kasha maitam lo yizka gazlon. If it's only based on egzeres ha'kosuv, so then in such a case, maybe the Torah only gave a schus to a motze, to someone who finds it. But to a gazlon, who says in such a case he's going to have that schus? So this is the two different ways of understanding the two extremes. Yeyush is Hefker. The moment that the Yeyush becomes Hefker, and then you could be Zochin it. The only proof we're going to have today is that that's wrong. Whose proof is that? Tosas. The Tosas says if that would be so, that Yeyush makes it ownerless, then when I'm the Yeyush it's ownerless, then the Gemara in Bava Kamma makes no sense. Must be, that's a different pshat. What is the different pshat? So I thought, again, I'm not going to delve in all of its depth right now. But we'll go with the way the Nesivos and the Ksos HaChoshen are masbir. And that is that Yeyush does not serve as a hefker at all, but rather there's a Gzeres HaKosuv. That Gzeres HaKosuv we need to be masbir more. But the Gzeres, just know, the parshas of Hashav HaVeg, the Dvarim Kisei, everybody's got to look up those psukim. You have to look it up. Adrosh HaChicha Imach. So then, in such a case, that pasuk of the Gzeres HaKosuv, Motzei Aveda, that pasuk applies, the Torah tells us, when a person is miyayish, that, not that it becomes hefker, yeyush doesn't equal a halachic hefker, but rather, that when I lose it, and I give up hope, you have a right to be zocheh in it. Not that you're being zocheh in hefker, but you have a right to be zocheh in this object. Not because it's hefker. But the Torah says that when you give up hope, then the other person could be zocheh from it. Not as if he's being zocheh from hefker, but rather I lose some of my bailus to the point that you're able to be zocheh. We'll refine this svara as the time goes on. The reason I'm bringing it up is not because of the etzim svara. The reason I'm bringing this up is the big war the Gedolei Achronim have in regards to Rashi. How do you learn Rashi? What do you think Rashi is saying? Yes, Yonatan?
By first glance, Rashi seems to be saying Yesh is Hefka. Someone's going to have Yesh, it becomes Hefka, and the guy's over
there. The Rashi seems to be saying it's Hefka, right? Reb Shmuel quotes this on page Sadi Beis from the Trumas HaKri. On Os Beis, he says, "B'chein reisi b'achronim shenaktu b'pshitus d'shitas Rashi d'yesh mitam hefker ayin b'trumas HaKri v'od and other gedolei achronim." So there are many who understand that it's based on the concept of hefker. Reb Shmuel is not convinced at all that that's what Rashi is saying. At the end of the day, if you're going to learn that way, then you have this massive kasha of Tosos to answer. There's also a Rashi and Gittin and Lamed Ches that also seems to say it's Hefker. But the Pnei Yoshua there goes to town and says, Rashi can't mean it as well. And he has another bomb kasha, which maybe we'll discuss as well. So on the one hand, Rashi seems to be pushing in this direction, but everybody has kashas on it, and that might lead to a different reading of Shitas Rashi. Reb Shmuel argues that you can't take Rashi literally. If you take a look, he says, V'yesh l'tchos, at the end of paragraph B. On Sadi Beis, the first column, just one sentence again. In this way, the Shiur of Shmuel were done very, very nicely because they're written concise, in a concise, clear fashion. V'yesh l'tchos. The Dilma Savar Deino Kehefker, he doesn't hold that Yeyush makes him Amish Hefker. Velo Asa Lefarish Geder Yeyush Mahu. Rashi doesn't mean to do what Tosis is doing on Samach Vav and Bava Kama and decide whether Yeyush makes it ownerless. Elo Ratsa Lomar Dedino Kehefker. He wants to say that as a Din Hefker. The Ispe Heter Zechia, that it has Heter Zechia. And then Reb Shmuel goes on that he believes, based on a lot of Ksoises and Nesivuses and other Rambans, he doesn't prove, as far as I'm aware, anything more in the Minei Ubei and Rashi, but he goes on to show that he thinks that this is correct, based on a broader telescopic view of Kol HaTorah Kula, along with Tosis' Kasha, along with the Pnei Yoshua's Kasha. At the end of the day, he thinks that this is going to be the correct Havan in Rashi. Not to take Rashi literally, to say that it's Mamish Hefker. I just wanted to add, according to Reb Shmuel's Mahalach, that we now have an answer to Moshe's Tzarech Iyun. And that is, what was Moshe's question? Moshe's question was, everything we said in two categories of Rashi is correct. You see how everything's connected. Once you become more sensitive to two categories of Rashi, once you see that the Ritva is purely unsensitive to it, then we begin to also deal with the broader questions also. And that is, I think that it could be everything that we said also yesterday, but now to sharpen it to the broader issue that's known as the Yeshivish Arei, in terms of what is Yeyush, how does Yeyush work, that Rashi over here is also getting involved with that as well. That a person can make a mistake when it comes to the Gemara, Machnashta de Beidari, the first five lines of our Gemara, the Gemara says it's Hefker. It's Hefker. That's all the Gemara says. So I might think that the reason in which someone is Zoch in the Metziah of somebody else, it becomes Mamish his, Lekulei Alma, is because I'm being Zoch from Hefker. Comes along Rashi, and Rashi says, it's not just Stam Hefker. Rashi says there's a process of Nisyayeshu Habaylimeh, Kid Amar Bigamara. The Gemara says that there is going to be a din of Hefker, the Hefker Hain, but don't make a mistake. It's not a pure case of Hefker, but rather it's due to this halacha of Yeyush. And that's what Rashi is emphasizing. So as I said yesterday, Rashi is emphasizing, number one, that this category is the same halakhic category as the other one, even though the circumstances are different. Machnashta de Beidari is that the person is miyayish because he doesn't want to be matriach. But when it comes to Elam Simin, then it's because there's no Simin, he's miyayish. But don't think that this first category is just pure Hefker. Again, look in the words of the Gemara, as Moshe was bothered. How does Peah work when an Ani is Zoche from Peah? Maybe it's pure Hefker. This is not different than Peah, my Maven Yavin. So that's so, I might have read the Gemara that this is a corollary to Peah, and more than that, it's a corollary to Peah, and it's an entirely different case than Elam Simin. Comes along Rashi, and Rashi says it's working through the process Nisyashu Abaylam. If that's so then, however you're going to understand how Yeyush works, if you're going to be convinced by the Pnei Yoshua and Tosfos, then Rashi is coming out of his way to tell us this is of the Hefker Hain in terms of the prism of Yeyush. From the prism of Yeyush. Now, does that prove Reb Shmuel's Havana and Rashi is correct? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That doesn't prove that his Havana is correct. But once we're aware of the problems that the Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim raise of looking at Yeyush as Hefker, that there's a Beferish and Gemara and Bava Kama and Samach Vavam and Aleph that says that the halacha is that Yeyush is not Hefker, as the way Tosfos understands it. So then there's even more of a reason for Rashi to emphasize this Yahushua Abaylam. Yes, is Reb Shmuel making Rashi Lav Dafka? He is. The Hefker Hain doesn't sound like it's Mamish Hefker. Doesn't sound like that. But now I have an answer to Moshe's question. That whether any side you take, whether you learn like the Truma Sakri, or you learn like Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, at the end of the day, I know why Rashi now adds the words Nisya Yeshua Abaylam. Because according to both of them, Nisya Yeshua Abaylam is telling us something important. According to the Truma Sakri, Nisya Yeshua Abaylam, the Hefkerain, is telling us that Yeush works through Hefker. And it's telling us, don't make a mistake that this is Stam, a totally of Hefker, like the Aloha of Peah. And Yeush is Hefker. And according to Reb Shmuel, Rashi's coming to tell you, Nisya Yeshua Abaylam, Kedam Arbi Gemara, that this is based on Yeush Habaylam when the Gemara says it. The Hefker ain't as a Din Hefker. But either way, Rashi wants to emphasize, I'm not taking sides in this Machlokas. I see both sides. If all I had was the Rashi's Lashon, I would say the Truma Sakri is right. The problem is that the Pnei Yoshua and Rashi Lamechess has a strong kasha. The Tosas had a strong kasha, and therefore I'm confused about this issue with Das Rashi. But what is clear is now that we're able to understand even the words of Nisya Yeshua by him. The only way I was able to, that really dawned on me, was when I started thinking about how far do I stretch the words of Hefker. Which way do you take those words? Now we appreciate what Nisya Yeshua means in Rashi. Yeah, Josh.
Sorry. But So based on Rav Shmuel's understanding of Rashi, why are they, can you just explain why they're differently again?
Why they're put in different categories? Absolutely. Not because of a halachic difference, but because of a practical difference. That Rashi wants to emphasize that the reason why you own it is because of Machnashta the Beidari, that you're Miyayashan, and it becomes Hefker. Rashi wants to emphasize that Machnashta the Beidari is a different case of the other instance of Mos Mefuzars, where there's no Simon. That's what Rashi's trying to emphasize. But at the same time, as I started saying yesterday, but now I'm able to crystallize it a lot more, Rashi wants to emphasize Yeyush to tell you not to think that it's working as an entirely different halachic category. And then Rashi's telling us one of two chidushim. Either he's telling us the chidush of the Truma Sakri that Yeyush still works as a form of Hefker, and that's what the Gemara is emphasizing, Kedah Amar Rabbi Gemara. Adayin Yeish Lachkor, what would the Truma Sakri... I'll take that back. So that's that category. Okay? Then that's what the that to tell us that don't think that's Stam a Hefker. That Yeush is what creates the Hefker, and Yeush is Mamish Hefker. Or Rashi's going to tell you, don't make a mistake and think that Gemara is a purely Hefker case. You have to always decide how this Yeush works. And that is also working through Yeush, and the case of Yeush is a case of a din hefker, but not hefker manish. Okay. This is a good introduction to that fundamental question that Tosfos raises. Let's go on. I think we're ready to begin Tosfos. Let's start Krechos Berushus Harab. There's a fundamental question that we're able to ask on our Mishnah in regards to the Lashonos of the Mishnah. How many of these cases take place in the Berushus Harab? One of them. Only one that take place in the Rishus HaRabim. Yet, our Mishnah says, Krechos Perushus HaRabim. Our Mishnah specifically goes out of its way to say that the Krechos are inside of the Rishus HaRabim. So let's take a look at Rashi. Krechos, Omorim Ketanim Kmo Ma'almim Alumim, Umetargvim V'Yushan Mikron Krechon. We see when Yosef's dreams, they're referred to as Krechon. So these are bundles. Rishus HaRabim, Shakol Doshin Aleh. Everybody tramples on it. V'mhoye Simin, Nikshar alein harehu nishchas. If there was a simen that was on these krechos, so then in such a case it would have been destroyed. L'chura, what Rashi is referring to, as Tosfos is going to bring up, is that this is a beferish gemara. This is a gemara on Chof Beis Amid Beis. The interesting thing is Rashi doesn't use the expression that the Gemara uses. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Krechos Krishus Harav Areyu Shalav. Amar Rava and Chabdeis and Abeis. Vafilu B'davar Sheish Bo Simen. Even if we're talking about something that has a Simen. Alma Kasava Rabba Simen Asli Daris Lohavi Simen. Rabba is coming to teach us that a Simen that is trampled on is not considered a Simen. Rav Amar lo shanu el davar she'en bo simen. Aval davar she'esh bo simen chay v'achris. Alma kasava Rava, simen asli dares havis simen. So l'chura, we'll have to get back to this on Sunday, l'chura Rashi seems to be taking sides in this machlokis between Rabba and Rava, right? How is Rashi taking sides in the machlokis Rabba? Yes, Yonatan?
Rashi is like Shita's Rabba, that if there was a simen, it would be destroyed.
Right, that's the Chura Rashi says over here, which is quite strange. That's normally not the way Rashi works. The Ritva also is doing the same thing, right? Not exactly. Okay, we'll get back to that. The Ritva also makes a big deal of Krechos Perushus Harabim, but he makes a big deal of Krechos Perushus Harabim in a different way. Who could point out the difference between the Ritva and Rashi? Now, once we do it this way, Tosus is a hard tosis. But once we take apart the Ritva and Rashi this way, Tosis is going to move a lot more smoothly as well. What's the difference between the Ritva and Rashi? Yes, Shema?
But he adds a point about Makom.
I would say it's sharper than the way you say it. You're 100% right. Just say it's sharper. He doesn't say what Rashi says, and he speaks about Makom. In other words, Rashi said Asu Lidaris, even though Rashi, interestingly, didn't use the word. Rashi didn't say they were talking about Asu Lidaris. He just said Harehu Nishchas. The Ritva said it's the Chiddush is Makom. So let's just spell out. According to the Ritva, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though it's going to be kicked around, normally Makom would be a Simin, but over here it's not because it's kicked around. That's what Bereshus HaRav is coming to emphasize. According to Rashi, I want to point out every word in Rashi is Meduyak. Rashi's Dibar Maschil is Bereshus HaRavim. Why is Rashi emphasizing Bereshus HaRavim? Because according to Rashi, that's the chiddush over here. The whole chiddush is that Bereshus HaRavim, that even though it's Asli Daris. The one thing is that Rashi actually seems to be ending up on the wrong side of the coin. Because if we want to be oversimplify, we would point out that the Ein Mishpat says that we paskin like Rabba, not like Rabba. And very good. So there is the hemshech, as I put in the Maamar Thomas, one needs to do the hemshech of the whole Gemara and see how that relates to Ein Hachanami. And that will get involved with Tosas as well. Right. And Tosas himself begins to follow through within the Gemara itself. But that is something for sure, at first glance, between Rashi and the Ritva, that's something to notice immediately. Yes, Izzy?
Is the Ritva say both Rav and Rava's opinions?
V'simin acha b'gufa namilo avisim. Correct. In the Hemshah.
It's not even like...
Right, right. Nachon, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. So in that way, the way Shimon said it was better than the way I said it. Izzy's correct. That the Ritva just emphasizes both svaras. Correct. Let me just point out what Izzy's saying. That's correct. V'simin acher begufa nami lo avisim fisha kol shu asu lidaris barag leod the main simin lo sakhalov v'lo kamer elu b'didami. So he gives the Ritva is really beautiful. He gives both svaras Rabba and Rabba. But Rashi here wants to be brief. On the other hand, it's hard to understand why Rashi would paint himself in a corner for the desire to be brief. So that Mir Tzashem will pick up with on Sunday. Let me start you off in the Tosas as well. Yes, Daniel, and then whoever. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
I think the Ritva has to say it this way, because if he doesn't say first that Makom is not a Simon,
right,
it's a waste of time to say that Simon also alludos, meaning, because if it's going to get trampled on anyways, you'll just say, who cares if it'll get trampled on? Makom's a Simon. So he has to introduce it to state first that Makom's a Simon, and then only can he explain that if it gets trampled on, that's not a Simon. Otherwise, if you don't say that Makom is...
No. They're two different things. Makom is one simen, and Asli Daris is another simen. Those are two different simanim. I understand. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're bothered, but at the end of the day, even if it's a simen Asli Daris, but at the end of the day, Makom itself should be a simen.
Yeah.
So that's a kasha and rashi, right?
It's two different.
So the Gemara in the Hemshech is going to itself get involved with that. Okay? So actually, what you're saying was going to come out is actually more difficult based on the Maskana Sagmar, right, Kedali? What he's saying actually becomes more difficult because he's now emphasizing two different Manda Amrim.
Meaning there's two Simanim at play here, but each Manda Amrim
is emphasizing
one of them.
Exactly. So then you're right. In the world of logic, if you accept both Simanim, right, then you're right. But in the world of the Gemara, actually it's more Mechudash. So it's a little bit more complicated than that. I'm just starting us off for next week. Some of the Talmidim got stuck a little bit in just reading the opening couple sentences in Tosas. So let me just start us off in terms of reading the Tosas. I'm not saying sheer, if you will, yet on the Tosas, but let's just read it properly. Elam Tzir Shalom Krechos Rishus Harabim. The Krechos Dafka Maflik Bein Rishus Harabim Rishus Hayachid. We specifically differentiate between Rishus Harabim and Rishus Hayachid when it comes to Krechos. So Tosas is asking the most basic question on the Lashon HaMishnah. Those bothered by an implicit question, and that is, why did it say Bereshus HaRav when it comes to Krechos? So Tosfos says, we intentionally differentiate between Bereshus HaRav and Bereshus HaYachid, Mishum Dilamad Amar Simin Asli Daris Havi Simin Umakam Havi Simin, because according to the Manda Amar, who holds that Simin Asli Daris is a Simin, and a Makom is also a Simin, Mayri Hacha Deleka Simin. So number one, we have to say that here there is no simin. Number two, umakum nami lo avisim rishus aram shum de minshtafi. So here, Tosis is saying, it depends on whether you hold a simin or asul yidareis is a simin. You have to emphasize this point in Tosis. That simin asul yidareis, if simin asul yidareis is a simin, what does that mean? That means that if you trample on it, then in such a case it's considered what? If you trample on it, it's considered a valid simin nevertheless. That's what simin asul yidareis means. It's confusing the first time you say it. Simin asul yidareis means, simin asul yidareis, have a simin means despite the fact that it's going to be trampled on, it's still considered a simin. That's what the word simin asul yidareis means. Despite the fact that it's trampled on, it's considered a simin. So now I have the following problem. Krekos berushus harabim. What did the Mishnah tell us? Abram, stand up. Krekos berushus harabim. What did our Mishnah tell us? Is what? What did we say? Krekos berushus harabim. Harelu shalo. Why? You're going to tell me simin asali dares? That's a simin, according to some. You're going to tell me it's berushus harabim? No. Makom could also be a simin. If you tell me that it was on Tabladach at a particular place, even if it has a dirush, I don't know, let's talk about better. You know, Golda Meir Boulevard. That it was on Golda Meir Boulevard, the Kulei Alma, that's a Rishus HaRabim. So then in such a case, so then still it could be a simon. Where? You just tell me, Barak, where? On Golda Meir Boulevard, then that's going to be enough. It's going to be enough. Oh, if that's so, so then in such a case, then we need to say the following. The reason why the Mishnah says Harelu Shalo is because it's Berushus HaRabim. What do I mean by that? Golda Meir Boulevard could also be a simon. The answer is Mishum Diminshtafi. Makom in theory would be a simon. When it comes to a Rishus HaYachid, it is a simon. But Rishus HaRabim has a separate problem, and that is that people kick it around. So it starts off at the beginning of Golda Meir Boulevard. You know, you ever watch the hubcap as it begins to roll along in the highway. So it starts off at one place, ends up in a totally different place, and therefore there's no sin when it comes to Rishus HaRabim. That's the answer. So that is why our Mishnah, we're doing two things. Number one, we're going to explain why the Mishnah is going to say the halacha is going to be Harelu Shalo. That's one agenda that Tosas has. And Tosas also has another agenda, aside from explaining why it's Harelu Shalo. The other agenda is to explain what? The other agenda is to explain why it says Berushus HaRabim. And now we've accomplished both. We've accomplished why it says Berushus HaRabim, because if it would not be Berushus HaRabim, so then in such a case, according to Manda Amar, Simon Asli Daris is a Simon. And according to Manda Amar that says that Makom is a Simon, so then maybe you would have said, you should say Chai Lahachris. The answer is that number one, it doesn't have a Simon. You have to say that. And number two is that because it's Minshtafi, so then in such a case it's Shalom. So the only time Krekos Berushus HaRabim is going to be Harelu Shalom, according to Smanda Amar, is if it's without a simon, and because it's Berushus HaRabim, it's Minshtafi, and therefore it loses its simon HaMakom. Okay, Rabosai, we're going to do daily halacha, and then... of course, I'll be here even though I...